Be seated. And we're in the book of Psalms tonight, Psalms 27. And it was a while back, probably a month ago or so, that we read through this passage in the morning for our family devotions. And these verses stuck out to me. So the Lord brought them to mind, because there were several things. Anytime you get ready to preach or do something like that, you always have these different ideas. But I'm excited about this tonight. And if you look at verse 13, Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14, this is our text. And this is not just a story from the past, but this is a real life account and the real writings of David. Amen. And it's we get the insight of God into his life and his own honest. It's like reading his journal, if you would. And so let's look here in verse 13. He says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So may the Lord teach us from this. I'm going to stand down here tonight. As I was thinking on this, I just want to take each part of the verse and kind of look at it, and we'll just go down through the passages and see what God can teach us. So David says this, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. And that stuck out to me because David's not, even in his youth, he was an outdoors kind of person. He's an active fellow. He's killing a lion and a bear through the Lord's strength, but he's not just the city boy that, you know, does a little bit and he's all worn out. So it's not that David lacked strength here. He was a man of war. He went on to fight almost constantly, it seemed, as a king in those days. That was part of your job. And so David says, I had fainted. There was factors and forces that acted upon his life and brought stress mentally, physically, and even spiritually to his life that caused him to faint. Now, not exactly because he said, I had fainted. He didn't faint. And there's some reasons he didn't, but there's things that would have led about to him fainting. And we look in verse 3, he says, the war should rise against me, and this will I be confident. Verse 2, he said, my foes came upon me. So we see that there's things in the past that he's overcome. He's faced some enemies in the past. And we go on in verse 6, 11, and 12, it mentions enemies that he presently has. Even false witnesses in verse 12 that have risen up against him. So he's actively dealing with struggles and things in his life that are not in his favor here. And even maybe some family issues. If you look at verse 10, it says, When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Now, I don't know if this was just in general he's speaking, or if his father and mother weren't really for him. There was a possibility that they weren't really going to side with him at this time. And there could be factors for that. We do get the idea that some of his brethren, you know, followed David. But maybe his mother and father stayed there and they were under, you know, Saul's reach. So maybe they decided, we'll just see how this goes and, you know, we'll side with Saul because David's off in a cave somewhere. But so David's facing some factors and he said, I had fainted. These things came into his life. And there's things that will come into our life that we'll have a response to. One person seems to stand up okay. The other one just seems to fall away. And as the physical body, there's factors that lead to fainting. Maybe some of us have experience in that, a literal fainting. It could be a lack of blood. You feel faint. It could be a lack of strength, a lack of oxygen. And maybe even a lack of food. So it comes through lacks, the things that we could lack. The Bible mentions that in Jeremiah 8:18, he said, through sorrow and grief, his heart fainted within him. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 4, 5, and 6, Peter's writing to some people, strangers, scattered because of persecution. And it says they were going through great trials of affliction. If in need be, they were in heaviness through manifold temptations. They were experiencing a lot of persecutions, which were leading to them wanting to faint, to to have a lack of strength there. We find in that correction could be a reason that we faint. God's chastening in our life. And we ought to be thankful for that, because that's a sign of a sonship, that we belong to Him. But that could nonetheless be very painful. And in Hebrews 12, it says, "Neither faint when you're rebuked of Him." Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. So these are things that lead to us fainting. It also says, "Lest you be wearied and faint in our minds." We just sometimes grow tired of doing it. It says, "In due season we shall reap if we faint not." Sometimes you just, if you do set your mind to endeavor to, whether it's read through your Bible or go witnessing every week or whatever it is, you'll soon find that there's plenty of reasons to stop. And this isn't always the physical passing out, but there's a spiritual fainting. It's just to grow weary. Maybe it's a lack of that close communion with the Lord. Maybe it's just the busyness that you don't quite have that close fellowship. It's a lack of something. And so you just feel sometimes that you really have a lack that needs filled somehow. And you feel that faintness. And I want to see what David did. He said, "I had fainted." He didn't. And there's one reason. He says, "Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." So, at first thought, you say it's David's faith that kept him from fainting. I would have fainted unless I had believed. But look a little farther. He said, "To see the goodness of the Lord." Boy, he wanted to see God's goodness and God's work. That's what kept him from fainting. But look at verse 14. It gets even more specific. He says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." It's no doubt why David didn't faint. His unless was God. Because you say, he would have fainted unless he had believed. In other words, he would have fainted without the Lord. And that's where he found his strength. And it seems that God, I know this in my own life, that He wants to kind of strip away all the extras, all the things that we just put our faith and trust in. And He wants to really have us find everything in Him and Him to be our confidence and our hope. And so I think that's what God's doing here in David's life. And so it's not a sin to be faint or something like that. But in those times, it's critical that we look to the Lord and find our everything and our hope in Him. So that's what David did. His unless was God. You know, we look to many things. Sometimes we get addictions from things that we're trying to take the place of. You know, we feel a lack, so we reach out to something. It could be counsel. Counsel's not wrong, but sometimes we seek it in the place of where we should be seeking God. Or friends, whatever it is, things. We try to reach out for things for security. And to fill the void that we feel that we have a lack of. And so, when there's this faintness, it's imperative that we turn to the Lord. Look next at what David, because it seems to me like verse 13 is his experience, and verse 14 is his advice. So he goes on to say, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Now, this thought right here, I'm going to have to kind of go over it seconds and thirds, because it's like talking about everything at once here. So let's take it apart at a time. He says, "Unless I had believed to see." I like this because he says, in other words, he doesn't say, "I believed and saw," but he said, "I believed to see." And it is significant because nothing's changed in the course of the moment he wrote this. You know, in other words, his faith is bringing something to pass. He's exercising faith, his belief, to see something that isn't yet. To see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, we know that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord, we're told. And He crowneth the year with His goodness. And as we think about goodness, it is the very nature of God. It says that every good gift, every perfect gift, cometh down from above. And we know that even in the creation that we read about earlier this year, each day God says, "It's good. I did this. It's good." And so as you look at, it's not a weak word. Oh, that's pretty good. But when it talking about the Lord, it's part of his very nature and essence. It's what he does. It's good. And David says, I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. I'm in a trial. I'm not seeing it now, but I'm believing to see it soon. I'm believing to see it now. I don't see it now, but I'm believing to see it now. And there's a significance because faith is, David is reaching out in faith to something he wants to have in his day. That's what faith does. It reaches out. And the right type of faith reaches to God. It doesn't have to be huge faith. The grain of mustard seed faith could move a mountain, Jesus said, if it was put in him. And sometimes we're all, it says that faith does increase. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And that's the sure way to have your faith increase. So we're told here that he believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I want you to see that I looked, that phrase, land of the living, that's used multiple times in the Psalms. And so I tried to find the significance. Why does he use that phrase, land of the living? Get my paper here. And so I looked at different Psalms, even in Psalm 116, which may add some insight. I believe it was, let's see, Psalm 116 and verse 8 and 9. David says this, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Well, that just seems kind of simple. He's going to walk, what, you know, there doesn't seem any mystery there, and I don't think there is. Now, this could have great significance, but you're living, I'm living, we're living in the land of the living. Now, the land of the living is, that's today. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. That's not the generations to come because they're not born yet, right? The generations past, not to mention the living now, but they're dead, they're gone, they're history. And the land of the living's my day today, my day now. And what's amazing is David, through his faith in the Lord, he says, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, in my day today. We've all read about the great revivals in the past, or the great things God did, or when this church ran how many hundred. But what about today? Is our faith going to bring God's work, God's goodness, God's blessing right today to where we are? That's what faith is. It claims. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, we pray about a matter, and God gives us the faith, the confidence, that peace. That's the down payment of like him saying, yep, you'll have that request. It's the substance. That's what we have of our request, our faith. We lose our faith, we don't have we don't have that down payment. We have no right to claim the blessing of the Lord. And so God says this, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We mustn't faint in our faith or in our outlook. It's easy to say, well, God will do something in the future. It's really easy to believe that because it really doesn't take that much faith. It just says, well, God will probably do something. And it doesn't take, not really, but it does take faith to believe what God did in the past, but it's already done. We're just believing in facts. But to reach out and take hold of God in our day, his goodness, and bring it down to our life today, that takes faith. And David said, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, in my day. And that right there gave him such confidence that he didn't faint. He continued, spiritually, mentally, physically. Notice verse 14. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait on the Lord. Now, this isn't the, well, I'll just sit down and wait a little bit. I prayed, I have faith, so God's going to do something in my day. Now, I'll just relax and whatever. This is the expectant waiting. This is like, oh, wait, here it comes. You know, this is that expectant waiting, looking for the blessed hope. This word wait is many times used, look, interchangeably, it seems. I looked, you know, throughout the Old Testament. The same, it comes from the same word. And so it's that expectancy that something's going to happen. And that's what faith does. It lays hold and believes. Wait on the Lord. It's not because he's late. It's just because his timing, as for the Lord, his way is perfect. And so his timing is right. So he says, wait on the Lord. There are some examples here of faith bringing God's goodness to pass in its life or reaching out. I think of Job. Now, I don't want to force this example into the lesson because if you look at what he said, well, I'll just read it here. It's Job chapter 19, very well-known verses. It says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." And what Job did, he reached out in faith and took hold of what would be and brought it into his day in a way. Now, he speaks of a future event as well, but I believe it was just as real to him, his Redeemer, that day as when he would come. And we see that same thought carried out. If you look at the last chapter of your Bible, three times we're told, "Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly by the Lord himself. Surely I come quickly." And right after that, John seems to get it. And his faith, he says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Paul lived with such that expectancy and faith that if you look at, he expected Christ to come in his day, it looked like. And it wasn't because he was disillusioned or something that he never came, but that's his faith. He said in such as 1 Thessalonians 4:17, he said, "Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up." It's like he included himself there. And there's, I had another example of such. Another place Paul says that, well, Christ would come in his, he expected Christ in his day. But, so, faith brings things to pass in our day, such as Daniel. If you read in how he prayed 3 weeks in some sort of a fast as well. And, you know, it's interesting that the angels, it says that if the angel of the Lord came to him and so on, but he was hindered 3 weeks through this fight with the king of Persia and so on. So that's an interesting story there, but we do learn that Daniel prevailed in his faith and it brought a blessing to pass that wasn't. And really changed, kind of caused God to work in his people there. So he says, "Behold, I come quickly." So the expectancy of our Lord, it brings it to pass. That's why, even if Christ doesn't come in our lifetime, it's not that we were deceived, but it's that our faith is living with that expectancy that he could come in our lifetime and having that type of a faith. And we see the same thing in Lazarus being raised from the dead, if you'll look at that story. So he says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart." When we wait on the Lord, it gives us confidence and courage. In Romans 4:17, it says, He quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which are not to be as though they were. In the context, it speaks of Abraham. Abraham didn't have, as he's waiting for Isaac, the promised son that would carry on the generations and, you know, of Israel and so on. His faith, it seems like maybe he didn't know how God was going to do this. And God kept promising it, but it just wasn't coming to pass as Abraham thought. And so they tried different things that never ended up working well. But it goes on to say that Abraham did believe God and was counted to him for righteousness. And in his day, he saw the fulfillment of the promise of God through faith. And that verse, "He quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which are not to be as though they were." So God raises the dead and he causes the things which are not to be as though they were. The story is told by Walter Wilson, a preacher, evangelist from Kansas City several years ago, that if a personal testimony in his own life, I heard as he preached, that he run a tent and awning factory, so he had a lot of people to employ. And in the course of business, they somehow had, bills were due and they didn't have the money. And that maybe some of you can relate. I've been blessed I've not been in some of those hard financial things, but those are something that could cause you to faint, some real life trials when you don't have it. And so he was kind of that worry. And as well as one of his daughter, there was a tent meeting at home, and one of his daughters was not saved, and he really wanted her to be saved. And so those two things were heavy on his heart, and the time for the bills is coming due. You know, every day is a closer day. And he has to go to another town, and so he meets with a friend there, and he lays it on his heart that they want to pray about it together. So they go into the dining room, the den there, and they're praying about it. And God gives him such assurance that, you know, it's going to happen. And before long, receives a telegram from his wife, I believe it was, saying, "Your daughter got saved. You know, God raised the dead." It says that we're dead in trespasses and sins. When God saves us, he raised the dead. And so he said, "Lord, that's half of it right there. You raised the dead. And so I just need you to call those things which are not as though they were. I need some money. It's not. I need it to be as though it were." And so he says, "Well, Lord, the Lord did half of it." And so time goes on. And just in a wonderful way, God provided that all the creditors and stuff had to pay. And finally, all of them start paying. And miraculously, just in time, God provides all the money he needs to pay all the bills and so on. And that verse sticks in my mind. Is God, it says he seeks to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose hearts are perfect toward him. And maybe he's just waiting that when we'll look to God to find our unless, I'm not going to faint, because I'm going to put my strength in the Lord. And I'm going to have the faith that I'm going to see the answer in my day. It's not that we're demanding of God that he has to, but he says, "Just pray, Lord, thy kingdom come, but thy will be done." So let's exercise some faith and have an answer in our day. The fainting soul, you look to God tonight and find that strength, that courage. You don't have to be fainting. It's always a good idea to look to the Lord and find our confidence in him. And that's what we have to do. And we'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living in our day. Real answers because of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are ready to answer and ready to work in our day, in our life. Help us pray and not faint. Help us not grow weary in well-doing. For you said, "In due season we'll reap if we faint not." You said you give strength to the faint. They shall mount up as wings with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Give us that kind of confidence in you tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.